As you can understand, it's a difficult situation because for many of these healthcare providers, they're under a lot of pressure from their communities, from their families, and sometimes from their own professionals to carry out these procedures. So there's a number of efforts that can be done to try to address this. We can try to work with them to better educate them around the problems of carrying out the procedure, whether it's medical or not. And the fact that it is a violation of basic human rights to do this, regardless of the health impacts. But at the same time, we do realize that they're working in a particular context. And so it's important to also work with the health system in that country, with cultural and social leaders, to build a supportive environment for them to be able to resist requests for undertaking this procedure.
But have you seen any success in your approach so far?
No, at the moment, just not that we haven't seen any success, but there's very little evidence about whether it's, you know, the feasibility of doing this and how it works out. Very few countries have actively tried these approaches yet, and those that have tried it, the approaches haven't been well documented yet. So it's very important that we do need to do a lot more research to understand how this, you know, these ideas, these principles would work in practice.
Is it a case that a lot of people don't actually understand? As in my case, for example, I thought I knew what female genital mutilation was until I saw your fact sheet, and actually there are four different types and they're all horrendous.
Absolutely. I think there's always a need for continual education around this for the general public and for the families themselves, parents and those in the family that require and request that their girls go through this procedure. But we do have to go beyond just that because it does reflect in most situations a broader culture of gender inequalities, regardless of how horrific the effects are going to be. So it has to be addressed both from the health and medical aspects and the damage done to the girls physically and mentally, as well as the broader role that the procedure plays. And in most cases, it's undertaken for social reasons, and the gendered position of girls in society needs to be addressed. Otherwise, you're always going to be pushing against an attitude, a norm in a society that supports this approach.
And you do say that in many communities it's done just as a matter of course, and if it's not done, then the people who refuse to have the procedure, they fear exclusion. So we can see why it continues to be so popular, let's say. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about was the spread of female genital mutilation. You're noting that it really is spreading far and wide.
Yeah, I mean, historically, it's been localized in the central band of countries across Africa and sub-Saharan Africa and Northern Africa. But also, because the procedure, as you mentioned earlier, is so varied, we're finding in a number of other countries where no one felt that it being carried out, in actual fact, it is being carried out, but it's never been recognized as such. I mean, countries, for example, Yemen, Iraq, Djibouti, Indonesia, a wide range of countries. So it's also being carried out there, but not recognized in the same sense. And the other reason for it becoming more widespread is the huge levels of migration. And many communities will take their practices, traditional practices, with them when they migrate.
Now, give me some positive news on international efforts to stop female genital mutilation. You have been pushing for it since 1997, great efforts to counteract FGM, as it's known, by working with communities and also revised legal frameworks, for example. Can you give me some more detail on those?
Yeah, a lot of countries now have put into place strong laws to try to discourage the practice. Now, obviously, laws take a while to impact on social norms, and so we're still tracing and monitoring this over time to see to what extent the laws do have an impact. But what we are seeing is that approaches that are much more focused at working with communities, with social networks and social groups, where communities and individuals, families are able to discuss the issue, debate amongst themselves the why do they keep this going, what are the benefits, what are the problems with it. And in those sort of approaches, we are seeing some fairly major changes and rapid changes in attitudes towards the practice, where, as I say, in opportunities where communities can get together and discuss and debate. And then they realize that this is not something that they want to continue